It's Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. And one of my favorite firms that comes in here is Wallace Miller, not only because they love to help people, but they bring in so many interesting lawyers that are working on so many interesting cases. I'm always thrilled to meet a new one, and we've got a new one here today. Christina Anderson joins us now from Wallace Miller. Christina, how are you today?
I'm great, John. Thanks.
Yeah, it's great to see you. You've got an interesting backstory. You were... I think you said you were born in Green Bay originally?
My
or your parents?
Parents okay. grew up in Green Bay.
And you moved around a lot as a kid, huh?
We did, yeah. My brother and I were born in New York.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then we actually moved to Kansas City, so we're Chiefs fans.
Oh, well, that's better than Packers fans, so we'll take
yes.
it. We'll take it. If you had said you were Packers fans, the interview would have ended just about now.
No.
Just loving the people above the cheese curtain. We love you in Wisconsin. Just joking around. Christina, how did you get into law?
I have always wanted to be a lawyer.
Really?
Since I was a kid.
Why?
Because I want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was in healthcare.
Ah.
And I don't do well with blood.
As I was telling you off the air, neither do I. Mm-hmm. So you wanted to help people. Did you then go through college and go, I'm going to go to law school right away?
No.
Mm.
I mean, I shouldn't say that. Yes and no.
Okay.
I did the mock trial team when I was at Butler
okay.
University in
nice,
Indy.
Nice.
And loved it. Won an attorney award in a mock trial competition. And then I was just completely burnt out when I graduated.
Mm.
So I took like 4 or 5 years off.
A gap half decade.
Yes.
I mean, obviously working and doing stuff.
Yes.
Did you always keep a toe in the water of the legal world?
Nope.
Really?
Yep.
What'd you do?
I worked in retail at first.
Okay.
I was at Build-A-Bear, and then I went to the cheese shop is what it was called. It's out of business now, but I ran that for a while.
You ran the cheese shop?
I did.
Oh, gosh. I could do a whole show on that. Oh, my God. Okay.
I would love to come back and talk about cheese.
I would love to have you back to talk about that. Ran the cheese shop. Okay, then how do we get to the point now that you're a lawyer at Wallace Miller?
I was on a day off. I was just randomly reading the newspaper because we had those back then.
Yes.
And there was a focus group that was looking for participants. So I threw my hat in the ring and I went and I participated. And it was the coolest thing.
A focus group?
Yes. It is where attorneys, they prepare their case. They present the case to
oh.
you in a neutral environment. And they get thoughts on what is a jury going to do with this?
Huh.
You know, it shows you the strengths and weaknesses of your case. It tells you where you need to develop more facts.
How cool.
It's so helpful for the attorneys. And it was the coolest experience. And I was like, I'm going to wing it. And I applied at a law firm to be a legal assistant.
Okay. So you applied to do like paralegal work.
Yep.
So you don't have a law degree, but you're helping them do their filings, their research, stuff like that on the cases. And obviously then they got their hooks in you, huh?
Yes, they did. I started in their Social Security Disabilities Department. And I did all the legal assisting work. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not challenged enough. I'm going to move over to the personal injury department. And I helped their primary litigation attorney work up all our cases for trial on car accidents and
wow.
single event cases. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And I went to law school at night while working with her during the day.
Are you kidding me? So you stayed employed the whole time,
yep.
went to law school at night. Do you mind if I ask how old you were when you went to law school eventually? Still in your 20s, but later on?
Yeah. I think I started when I was 27, 28.
Wow. And this is a good lesson out there that your career choice can always change. And obviously 27, 28, still very young. There's people that go to law school in their 40s and 50s and beyond. And that's an awesome thing. I noticed a thread line in all of these things, including the cheese shop, but especially when you got into law, that mantra of wanting to help people. Your mom was in healthcare. You wanted to help people. You mentioned that you were helping in car accident cases or single events. You seem to want to be there for people when they need it.
Yes.
Is that, I mean, that must come from your mom too, the healthcare aspect of things too.
I think so.
Both my brothers are paramedic firefighters, and they often say that they're, as first responders, are there for people on their worst day. I think we say that a lot about first responders. I do think that we forget, maybe it's because of our lawyer jokes that people like to tell, that lawyers are often there for people on their worst day too.
Yes.
What's
absolutely.
That like? Why do you like doing that?
Because you know that you're never seeing someone at their best,
mm-hmm.
but they're coming to you with a problem and you have experience in dealing with that type of problem and you get to walk them through the process of resolving it and getting compensation for an injury and helping them feel better about a situation. Oftentimes, you know, even if the settlement isn't great in a personal injury case,
mm-hmm.
bringing it giving them their day in court brings closure to the issue for them and makes them feel so much better. And I love watching that journey.
obviously being able to help someone to a settlement is a journey too. But even that first conversation, I imagine that someone just listening to what they have to say and you politely listening, asking follow-up questions, that almost can be so beneficial to them too. Just that phone call, I bet, or that initial consultation.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that after the end of a long phone call, right, getting to know them about their issues and everything.
All right, let's get to the case of the day that we're going to be talking about. It's a drug called Depakote. Am I saying that right?
It is. Yep, Depakote.
What is Depakote?
It is an anti-seizure medication at its core. It was approved by the FDA in 1978. Valproic acid is the main active ingredient in there.
Okay.
It's used primarily for epilepsy. It also treats some psychiatric disorders, specifically like the manic phase of bipolar disorder. And it's really effective at that.
So it's a good drug for certain things.
Yes.
In the right circumstances, this works. What would be circumstances where this drug, you guys contend and are working through the court system, I imagine, where there's problems?
If you're taking it during the first trimester of pregnancy as a pregnant person.
Okay.
It is probably not going to harm you as the pregnant person, but we're finding developmental issues with the child if they've been exposed to it during that first trimester.
And that first trimester is so important because many women, when they're going through pregnancy, look at me preaching. I'm trying not to mansplain this, I promise. But to all the other men out there that have no idea about this, is that doctors can recommend certain drugs, and some are okay in the first trimester, but not okay later on. The first trimester also includes, roughly maybe 6 weeks in some cases or more, where someone doesn't know they're pregnant.
Right.
It might be on Depakote. I imagine that's a lot of scenarios that you're dealing with here.
Yes, absolutely. It's a big concern. It's also the first 9 weeks of pregnancy are where all of the important things are developed. Your brain, all of those important biological things that you need to function as a whole person at the end of the day are developing right then, when nobody knows that the pregnant person is pregnant.
Right. Okay, so Depakote, you say, can impact a birth. What are the impacts that we're seeing on the other end? When a child is born and they're raised, what are we noticing for people that have been exposed to Depakote?
We are seeing increased risks of autism spectrum disorders and severe ADHD.
Mm. And I think this gets to the root of the issue and what you guys do as lawyers. There's a lot of questions about what causes autism, a lot of debate on it. A lot of it is misinformation, and we have to be careful about that. Same with ADHD, and there's so many misdiagnoses of these sorts of things. So I'm kind of treading lightly here. How are you showing that there is this causal link between these two things? Is it just the preponderance? Walk us through how that works, that conversation.
There's a lot of studies that have been out for a while. The 2013 Journal of Neurology, Neurosurgery, and Psychology actually did link that valproic acid to increased neurodevelopmental disorders and autism when it was taken in utero.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several other studies, including FDA warnings. The European Medical Association has warnings on it as well. And the Journal of the American Medical Association has also had several articles and studies published on this link between Depakote and autism spectrum disorders.
So there's an FDA warning already about this?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm asking here is, then, if this is kind of known information, what sort of cases are you dealing with? Are you dealing with people that may have taken it before these, known things were happening, or people that maybe weren't made aware that this was a potential situation? Like, at what point do you have a case with a client? Do you kind of see what I'm asking here?
Yeah, we're really looking at people who have taken it a little bit more recently, since January of 2022-ish, and we're looking at people who weren't warned by AbbVie and Abbott Labs, who manufactured Depakote, that this was an option. They went into their doctor's offices. They said, we've got epilepsy. They got on Depakote. And then never at any point in that conversation with their doctor was the doctor necessarily aware.
Oh, wow.
Or the patient were made aware that this could be a thing. This higher risk of autism spectrum disorders is something that a patient should be able to talk to their doctor about and make that informed choice. And if they don't know about the risks, they can't do that.
So that's really what's at the root of this case. It's not that no one had any clue what was happening. It, in fact, was there were clues, there was evidence, there's warnings, there's journal writings about this. But the potential mother going through, maybe going through a pregnancy, or anyone that was diagnosed and given this drug, there was a missing link between telling the patient this vital information.
Exactly.
So who do you guys then go after? And I say go after, I don't mean that in a way. You're trying to get justice for people that deserve it and financial compensation. Mm-hmm. Do you guys fight and go against the drug manufacturers, the doctors themselves? Who are you trying to say messed up here, I guess you could say?
It's not the doctors. We're looking at AbbVie and Abbott Labs, the manufacturers, mm-hmm. Because our system is set up in such a way that they are allowed to innovate and make great new drugs that treat important conditions like epilepsy.
100%.
But they make $1.5 billion a year on Depakote alone. And our system is set up so that when they can make that much money, the legal system can step in and say, yeah, but you're forgetting some safety information that people deserve to know about. And it's this legal process that we're going to work through with Depakote that will hold them accountable for these safety warnings and issues that they should have already had on the medication.
And I think that that's where I think what you guys do at Wallace Miller is so important. You're obviously trying to get compensation for the people that were harmed, but you're also trying to change the way it operates so it doesn't happen again, right?
Right.
So what's the end goal for what Depakote? Would you want just every single pill to be sent with this warning in a box, or every single drug manufacturer that talks to a doctor to have to make this abundantly clear? Like, what's the missing link here? Why are doctors not knowing this from a drug manufacturer? You think that that would be an obvious link between the two?
Yeah, and it really should be. And I think that's step one, is making sure that on all of their advertisements, with their sales reps going into the doctor's offices, talk about it. Put it on the pamphlet that you leave with the doctor. Hmm. The doctor isn't going to necessarily read that pamphlet when you're in there in that meeting. But you know what he is going to do? He's going to go back to his desk after business hours, and he's going to read through that pamphlet and decide whether or not it's something that they want to prescribe in that clinic. And if it's in the pamphlet and you tell the doctor, then the doctor can talk to the patients about it.
So you... I mean, let's just get down to it. So you guys contend that these pamphlets that they hand out to doctors do not include this information?
Correct.
Even though they know this is a risk?
Yep. AbbVie and Abbott Labs absolutely know.
Okay. We got to put a pin in this. That, I think, is the crux of the whole thing. We'll do a little bit more with Christina Anderson from Wallace Miller. Christina Anderson is the name of our guest from Wallace Miller. And Christina, I think we got to make a good point here. Depakote, which is the drug we're talking about, which you've shown and you all contend that there's a link between ADHD, and not only you guys contend, sorry, a lot of scientists agree that there's a link between Depakote, which is an anti-seizure medication, and ADHD, or on the autism spectrum for kids born, for moms who take it, especially in the first trimester, often when they don't know they're pregnant. You are not trying to contend that Depakote should not be on the market, right?
Right. It is a fantastic drug for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
It does control seizures very well. We really just want people who could be pregnant, people who might not know they're pregnant, because so many pregnancies are completely unexpected. Mm-hmm. It just happens sometimes.
Right. Nature has a way, yes.
Yeah, we want them to have a choice when they talk to their doctors and say, hey, I'm thinking about getting pregnant, or I just found out I'm pregnant and I'm on this medication. I don't know what to do. I don't know if it's the safest option for me and my child. We want them to have that conversation with their doctors so the doctors can make an informed decision about whether it's good to change to Keppra, or should we go ahead with Depakote because it's the best option for your particular type of seizures.
Right. They might ultimately decide this is still the best option. We need to do this. But mm-hmm. I see the argument of at least let the doctors know and make sure they know that this is a risk, because then they can tell their patient, any woman of any childbearing age, hey, this is a possibility. Are you planning on getting pregnant? Do you want to get? And if they say no, absolutely not, then okay. Then that can be a decision made. We are just trying to get information out there.
Right.
Okay. So then if there's listeners out there, and this is always where I just want to like pump the brakes and just make no one panic, because there might be someone listening right now that is on Depakote who's pregnant and now wondering if they've messed everything up. There is an increase, maybe a significant increased likelihood of ADHD or being on the autism spectrum. It's not a guarantee, though, right? We don't want to freak anyone out right now.
Not at all. Not a guarantee. My best advice would be to go talk to your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Just go and ask and let them help you make that decision.
Right. So people that are listening now, who do you want calling you guys at Wallace Miller that you guys can help? I'll give the number, by the way. It's 312-261-6193. Is it just as simple as does Mike, well, you explain it. Who should be calling?
If you have a child who has been diagnosed on the autism spectrum or with severe ADHD, and you, as the pregnant person, took Depakote during the pregnancy, give us a call. It's going to involve a conversation. We're going to look through medical records and make sure that we can prove up the case eventually. But as a baseline, if you took Depakote while you were pregnant and your child has been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorders or severe ADHD, give us a call. Go to our website, wallacemiller.com. Reach out, and we will be happy to walk you through the process.
312-261-6193. As you said, not everyone has a case always. You're going to want to have that conversation. But even having that conversation can either allay fears or at least let the person know, I listened. This may not be for us, but your concern is valid, and just hearing someone out is important to you, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay. So once again, if you took Depakote and you have a child, if you were the mother, and right, the mothers, right? Because fathers taking Depakote, as of right now, there's no causal link that you guys proved through the men that this could pass on to the baby. I'm trying not to use certain words. you get what I'm saying.
Yes, we are very much concerned with the pregnant person.
Okay, all right, very good. 312-261-6193. Christina Anderson from Wallace Miller. I can't believe it. We're out of time. WallaceMiller.com. Great job. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Fantastic. Look forward to it.